Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan, Covers Senior Industry Analyst. That guy right there is former odds maker turned professional sports bettor and a very popular face among the sports betting analysts out there, Mr. Todd Furman. And this, believe it or not, is week 18 of the NFL season. Goes by just like that. Todd, this is our last full slate of football, which is a little depressing, but it is one of the trickier weeks. And you know, we've talked about this leading up to week 15, the mixed motivations. They push around the spreads and totals quite a bit, but it's not just spreads and totals. We see the props and the padding of the props for all those incentives that may still be up in the air for week 18. It feels to me, much like the preseason sometimes, that like if you're late to the party in week 18, it might be best to just walk away. Is if you are someone, and most people don't get the betting, especially with the holidays, until Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you're late to the party, is it still worth it in week 18? Are there any edges to be found?
There's always an avenue and an opportunity. You just have to get a little bit more creative sometimes, looking at the derivative markets, deciding if you want to go first quarter, first half in some of these games. But the good thing now that we have this discussion in 2026, J-Lo, versus if we had this conversation 20 years ago, is the advent of live betting. You always have an entry point when you're watching these games trying to figure out. But if you're chasing an underdog money line or you're chasing a position, for example, the Bills and the Jets game that opened 14.5, now sits at 7, you're not stealing at this juncture of the game. So a little bit of buyer beware, you know, err on the side of discretion and realize even though it's the final week of the regular season, there are still plenty of investment opportunities going forward in the postseason with things a little bit more above board than more nuanced.
Yeah, and I think we're going to try to leverage some of these situations as we get through the podcast and have our bets here for week 18. Looking at some of the big games, we're going to double up on the touchdown bets this week. We're going to be twice as nice. Two touchdown anytime bets from us.
I need two, Utah.
Yeah. and then we're going to go and run that 2 minute drill for our best bets of the final week of the regular season. Before we do start, though, before we start the clock, we ask that you review, you rate the Sharp 600 on whatever pod platform you listen to us on. If you're watching us on YouTube, what's up? Happy New Year to you. Like, comment, subscribe to that Covers channel. A lot of big sports on the board here as we get into 2026. And we've got just about, you know, videos and picks and bets and analysis for everything on the board, especially with basketball taking off here soon. All right, Todd, let's go. Last 600 seconds for the regular season. All right, Todd, we got three big games that mean something here in week 18. Let's start Saturday. We got Panthers and Bucks. Carolina can win it all, win and get in. Tampa Bay obviously needs something else to happen on Sunday. That's just the bag of cats that this division has been. But we're seeing the Bucks bounce between -2.5 and -3. What do you like here in the Saturday afternoon game?
Go figure, J-Lo. You go 1-7 of your last 8 games, and suddenly you can't control your own destiny because the Atlanta Falcons upset the LA Rams on Monday night. And you mentioned the dynamic in play. We thought this was going to be a winner-take-all type scenario. But now, if the Bucs beat the Carolina Panthers, they're still going to need a little bit of help from their divisional rival. The one thing I will say is we've seen Carolina take money, but again, I'm a little bit concerned about this number. Just 2 weeks ago, we saw Tampa take money from 2.5 to 3 on the road against Carolina, and while they stubbed their toe, it's still a little bit of a buy-low opportunity. Do I want to back the Bucs amid this losing streak? Absolutely not. I'm instead going to go to the total and look to make a case to go under. Carolina has been a little bit more cautious on the road when it comes to letting Bryce Young stretch the field. It's a ground and pound type approach. This Tampa offense has looked downright broken as Baker Mayfield deals with a laundry list of injuries. I'm going to go under the total at 44 being the key. I think defense rules the day, and it's the first team to 21 that gets out of the big sombrero with a victory.
All right, you say ground and pound, and that sounds good to me because I like Chuba Hubbard to go over 27.5 rushing yards -110. Hubbard kind of fell behind Rico Dowdle in terms of the pecking order in that backfield due to injuries in the fall, slowly working his way up. But we've seen his snap counts climbing here recently, and Dowdle coming into this finale with a bum toe. And also Dave Canales was talking about how big Chuba Hubbard is to this team in terms of leadership and how much faith he has. And he actually said, we're going to give him the ball some more and find ways for him to impact the game because he's a guy that I really trust. So I'm going to put my trust in Dave Canales here that he is a man of his word. Tampa Bay's run defense used to be tops in the league. Now it's been MIA in the second half of the season. Projections for Chuba sitting north of 30 yards. So be a man of your word here, Dave Canales. Feed Chuba. Feed a good Canadian boy the football. Yeah, like his
I
over
knew that
27.
Had to be the reason. Had to be some, I knew that had to be the reason. There had to be a little bit of Canadian
if there
love
was,
in this game.
If there was snow in this game, you know we would be taking his over 50 yards. But we'll go over 27 and a half for Chuba Hubbard. The next one is the big one. Seahawks, 49ers, not only the NFC West crown on the line, but the number one seed in the NFC and some great line movement here. We saw San Francisco open as a short -1.5 favorite. That has since jumped the fence. We see Seattle now -1.5. Todd, how are you breaking this big one down?
So, J-Lo, the one thing about this game, there is not a bigger contest that'll be played week 18 in the NFL that'll have more impact on the Super Bowl odds than this one, because whoever gets out of this game with that top overall seed in the NFC will see their odds continue to shrink. And I know the game that we're going to get to, people are going to say, well, wait, the Ravens-Steelers have a lot more at stake. Well, let's pump the brakes there on their real Super Bowl prospects. For me in this spot, I'm going to take the better defense, despite them being a road favorite here, and lay that short money line price right around $1.20 with our friends at Bet365 on the Seahawks. This is a 49ers team that will be a little bit healthier offensively, getting George Kittle back, but we're still not sure if Trent Williams is going to return from that hamstring injury that sidelined him on Sunday Night Football against the Bears. And if there's a team in the NFL, let alone your own division, where you want to be healthy along the offensive line, it's against this Seahawks team. Do I have confidence in Sam Darnold? The answer is absolutely not, given what we saw last year in Week 18 in the playoffs. But I do have confidence in the Seahawks' ability to run the football and play defense. Give me the Seahawks to seal up that number one seed in the NFC.
All right, so in order for us to win both of our bets on this, we need a Seattle win by one, because I'm going to take the 1.5 with San Francisco. And I talked about this in my underdogs column, which you can go and read over at covers.com. And I said it feels like San Francisco kind of ninja'd its way into this spot, very quietly lurking in the shadows, put together a 6-game winning streak, a lot more hoopla around Seattle, around LA, around the Eagles, these other top teams in the NFC. And quietly, here's San Francisco playing for the top seed. Brock Purdy right now, perhaps playing the best football of anyone in the NFL since his return in Week 11. We look at the advanced passer metrics since his return. He's like a top two QB out there. And you mentioned Sam Darnold. He was in that same spot in all those fancy metrics between Weeks 1 and Week 10, and then he just fell off a cliff. He's like a bottom third QB here over the second half of the season. I trust Brock Purdy a lot more than I trust Sam Darnold in this one. And with a matchup this tight, with a spread this tight, I'm going to go with the better QB in that. To me, that's Brock Purdy. So a 1-point win for Seattle gets us there. small window. All right, let's fast forward to Sunday Night Football. A big one for your household. I know this. Ravens, Steelers. Lamar looks like he put in a full practice. He's going to be good to go. Ravens laying 3.5. That nasty half-point hook is tricky because the underdogs generally rule this matchup. I looked at it, 78% winning streak, or 78% winning clip ATS for underdogs between the Ravens and the Steelers in Harbaugh versus Tomlin. So that's a slim margin there. What do you like in this one? And is your wife home? Are we going to actually get a legit answer here, or are we going to see a shoe come flying at your head?
Look, I'm able to kind of dance between the raindrops, both proverbial and metaphorically, in this particular spot, because you know what, J-Lo? I'm not going to pick a side, but I will say if the number did get out to 4, I would have to make a value bet on the Pittsburgh Steelers, just given the dynamics that you laid out there and how Mike Tomlin seems to get the best out of his team when they are truly backed into a corner. But instead, I'm going to go to the Steelers' backfield. And while Kenneth Gainwell has been the player getting all of the buzz about his receiving prowess, I think Jaylen Warren is the guy that has to take on a little bit bigger role as a pass catcher in this spot. I'm going to take him over 1.5 receptions and lay the price right around $1.40 at Bet365 that Warren is going to eat in this game. We saw him with a big-time run after the catch against the Ravens the first time around. He's typically been good to pencil in for 2 receptions in all these games. We know DK Metcalf suspended. No Darnell Washington in the tight end room. So I think it's going to be running back by committee, not just both between the tackles, where they haven't been effective against the Ravens, but as pass catchers. Give me Jaylen Warren over 1.5 receptions.
All right, we're thinking along the same lines here, but I went with Kenneth Gainwell. I went over 4.5 receptions. A lot of books asking -114 on this prop. Bet365 is going to give you the over 4.5 catches at +105. So I like the value there. And you mentioned Gainwell being such a bigger part of the passing game for them over the last, you know, second half of the season. Metcalf suspended, Washington out. His role, and Calvin Austin maybe not playing too with a hamstring, his role in this receiving game goes way up, and he's drawn 6 or more targets in 5 of the last 7 games. Gainwell's recorded 5 or more receptions in 5 of those games as well too. He had 6 grabs for 7 balls against Baltimore last time, and the Ravens actually the 4th most receiving yards allowed to running back. So there is a window there. Like I said, we're getting a good price here at Bet365. This is one that we could both win, especially if Aaron Rodgers is having to throw those little dunks and dinks like he likes to throw. So Gainwell over 4.5 receptions plus 105. All right, we're going to double up TD anytime bets here for odds provided by Bet365. Todd, who do you like to get in? Give us 2.
I'm going to start with a short shot, a guy I bet last week. But you know what, J-Lo, I'm coming right back to him. Nico Collins at plus $1.60 against this Colts secondary. I think they have to try and feed their horse. Everybody else get in on the action last week against the Chargers. Nico finds Pater at plus $1.60. And we broke down the Ravens and Steelers game. All the talk will be about Derrick Henry and the workload on his plate. But quietly, Keaton Mitchell has been that explosive, dynamic playmaker. I'm going to take a flyer that he breaks one against this Steelers defense at 5-1. Give me Keaton Mitchell at 5-1 and Nico Collins at plus $1.50.
All right, I got 2 second-tier running backs, both plus +350 odds to score a touchdown. I'm going Jaleel McLaughlin for the Broncos. Yeah, I'm taking Jaleel McLaughlin for the Broncos. Had a season-high 7 carries against Kansas City last week. Likely going to get the touches here as they play against a Bolts team. It looks like they're resting their starters. He's a shifty guy. He can hit a home run. I also like Ty Johnson for the Bills, plus +350 to get in. They're going to tread real lightly with James Cook, real lightly with Josh Allen. Both tight ends questionable in this. That ups Johnson's stock in the red zone. Maybe a little Mitchell Trubisky. That simplifies the passing game. Johnson gets in. He's a guy who could score through the air and on the ground, plus +350. Time for some rapid fire bets here in a 2-minute drill. Todd, get us going. Week 18.
What's more exciting than watching a regular season finale while one team has 1 foot in the playoffs and the other team is already focused on the offseason between the Bills and Jets? But it's not a side I'm going to tackle here. I'm going under the total at 38. Look, this is a Bills team that's extremely banged up. I know Josh Allen has played 139 straight games, and it's going to be tough for Coach McDermott to keep him off the field. But the Bills have to err on the side of caution. You can't get your franchise in harm's way. There are a lot of key position players on both sides that are dinged up. And look, the Jets probably couldn't move it on a good high school team right now. I'm going under the total of 38 between the Bills and Jets.
On Foxborough High School, according to Drake May. That's not on their schedule. I'm going LA Rams over 13.5 points in the first half. It's minus -125, but it's minus -125 for a reason. Los Angeles wants to get out to a quick start to be able to rest the starters because McVay is playing these guys. At least they show them something better than this team that lost the last 2 games. And Arizona could be the team to do it against here. They've allowed 62 first half points over the last 3 games. Matt Stafford trying to boost his MVP stock. I think he lets it rip. I like LA over 13.5 points in the first half, minus -125.
And for my second play, I'm going to go to the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to lay that full touchdown price tag against the Green Bay Packers. You look at Green Bay, you're not bringing in Desmond Ridder for practices if Jordan Love is actually going to play the regular season finale. I think Matt LaFleur knows he's going to keep out quarterback 1, quarterback 2. We're going to get a steady dose of Clayton Tune, maybe some Desmond Ridder in there. Max Brosmer, a little bit scary to lay the 7, but this is a Green Bay team that has been an absolute mash unit. And you know what? Brian Flores don't care, J-Lo. He's going to come heat you up, create a short field or 2, and in an ugly, ugly football game, the Vikings win somewhere in the ballpark at 21-7, 21-10. I'll lay the touchdown here with the Purple People Eaters.
He's bringing bodies. I'm going 2. Tyler Shuck. Going to get him to throw a pick, minus -115 against Atlanta. Shuck's been letting it fly here at the home stretch of the season, but he's taken advantage of some very bad pass defenses, and he's pushing for that offensive rookie of the year. He's very, very close. Atlanta, though, a much dangerous, more dangerous team. The high rate of zone. They blitz a lot. 4th most interceptions, I believe, out there as well. I see Shuck trying to throw it. No Olave, as you alluded to before we went on. He threw a pick against the Falcons earlier this year, so I like him to throw another one, minus -115. And, I was waiting for you to go again. Nope, I think we got all our bets up. There we go. again, we blow through the horn. But, hey, we packed a lot into one podcast here. That is it, the final 600 seconds for the regular season. Whew. Thank you to Chris, producer behind the scenes, for making us look so good. Thank you, Todd. Thank you to Bet365 for all the goodness, all the odds. And thank you to you for joining us each and every week of the regular season and here in week 18. A quick reminder, we would love if you could like, subscribe, leave a comment. What are you betting in week 18? Who do you like for the playoffs? Let us know on the YouTube channel. Rate and review on the pod platforms. We put in some good work here, Todd, over the regular season, especially the home stretch of the season. I feel like we had a really good record going in. We had some touchdown winners striking. We're going to carry that over to the postseason. So show us a little love. let us speak to more sports bettors like yourself. And you could do that by giving us all those, pushing all those buttons and liking all those things. Todd, before we go, I have to ask, the dramatic shift in MVP odds on Monday night. Have you seen anything like this? Like, do you remember anything like this?
That's the whole thing, J-Lo. When you look at these awards markets, is what have you done for me lately? And the recency bias is there. What's crazy about it, though, is we pay so much attention to the betting markets. We have absolutely no idea what these voters are going to do. Yeah. And it almost reminds me of the NL Rookie of the Year race a couple of years ago. While the betting markets said Jackson Merrill had a leg up on Paul Skeens, we find out that the betting results say that Skeens was never in jeopardy of kind of giving away that particular hardware. And, I'm not going to say it's an apples-to-apples comparison here, but I would only be buying shares of Matthew Stafford at a price tag of 2-1 or better. Yep. Look, Stafford has that lifetime legacy. And for a guy that probably becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer, given what he's accomplished as a member of the Rams, the MVP becomes the crowning achievement. And who knows, maybe he becomes the Susan Lucci Lifetime Achievement Award, and that's what gets him over the hump here in this spot. But I would only be betting Matthew Stafford here. I think Drake May's strength of schedule is going to work against him. And I just don't see a scenario where Mike Vrabel wins Coach of the Year, Drake May wins offensive, or wins, you know, MVP, and those two things come together for the number two seed most likely in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, like, the second I saw that move, I was buying up Stafford hard. Like, you're going
to
give me
the only way to do it. Only way to do it at that price. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, if he loses, then he loses. But he has a pretty good opportunity to pad. If it's stat padding that they want to get after, he can do that against Arizona this weekend, which is why I'm betting they're over first half on points. All right. Well, that will be it for the regular season. We're going to be back next week for the wild card round. Until then, best of luck with your bets and have a happy new year.